Blog Talk Radio.
Praise Him, join your life. We're going to do a song that's a part of our worship. How many know He's wonderful? Put your hands together and sing this.
John, once again, to be here in his presence. And we're thankful that he's given us another day of safety. And we're honored for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, now, God, we thank you now for this opportunity to come and to share your word. That your people, once again, we give you glory, we give you honor and all the praise. Now, God, we ask that you give us knowledge, understanding, revelation of your word, where we be able to elevate and encourage each other, oh God, to do your will. And God, we thank you now in this place that we are in, those that are here tonight on campus, those that will be tuning in through our Blog Talk Radio, and as well as Facebook Live. We thank you for those. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. We're grateful to God once again to be back in this moment, in this time to study the Word of God tonight. We're grateful to each and every one of you for being here in this place tonight as well. We thank God for our listeners. Our radio broadcast, Wondrous Word broadcast, we thank God for you that will be tuning in. Also via Facebook Live, we thank God for you. We see you coming in. Yes, we are on. Yes, tell somebody the bishop is on Bible Enrichment. We are getting ready to go into this lesson. I know some folk have been waiting. We thank God for you. I've been getting reports when I see people. They inform me and let me know that they're enjoying the broadcast, and just keep it up. And I do this because there are folk that want a word and looking for a word and need a word from the Lord. Amen. Some people be at work, some people be at home and can't get out, but this is what God has put in our hearts to do, to reach the people that we can't reach. We understand and know we can't reach everybody, but those that we can, we shall. Amen. So we thank God for that. We thank God for everything that he's done and what he's still doing in our lives. And we turn that down for somebody to start calling. Amen. But we're grateful and thankful. We're dealing in this lesson with distractions. And we're talking about we can be distracted by good. Sometimes we can be distracted, not only just in the bad things, but also in good things. Good things can be distracting to us as well. So we're going further on in our lesson tonight. We began in our introduction on last week. So this week we want to go in and we want to look at an example with Mary and Martha tonight. We want to do that tonight. An example on how we can be distracted by good. Amen. Martha and Mary show us a great example of this, and how Martha was distracted. We want to look at and see how Martha was distracted in this episode tonight. Amen. One thing we need to understand, we're going to Luke chapter number 10, verse number 38. We're going to deal with that. Amen. We welcome you once again, those of you tuning in via Facebook Live, via our radio broadcast, Wondrous Word broadcast. We thank God for you listening, as well as you that are here tonight on campus, as we deal with this lesson, distracted by good. We're still dealing with distractions. Go to Luke chapter number 10, verse number 38. We understand that Martha, she had invited Jesus to her house. In Luke chapter number 10, verse 38, says, "And Jesus and the disciples came, continued on their way to Jerusalem. They came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home." Watch this now. It was her house. She invited him to her house. Her house leads most to think that she was the eldest of the household, because it says she invited him to her house. You would think that she is the eldest, as the word leads us. Watch now, because her hospitality is certainly commendable. It is a notable trait. It's good when people invite you to their house. Amen. It is good when folk can invite you, when you get an invite from somebody. That's a good thing, because how many of you know everybody don't invite anybody to their homes? If someone invites you to their home, that means they got a closeness, or they trust you or believe in you or have confidence in you that, okay, I can invite you to my home. And if I invite you to my home, you won't come and try to wreck it. You won't come and try to destroy it. You won't come in and try to take anything from it if I invite you to my home. It's an honor to be invited to someone's home. Amen? Because some folk you can't invite. Some folk you don't want to invite. You invite somebody, the first thing they do, all they doing is just looking around. See what you got. How much you have. What is it that you have that they don't have? Come on. They're doing this, and folk come in just trying to look and just see, okay, you think you got it going on. Now just to go out and share and tell somebody else, they got this, they got that, and they got all this. You can't invite everybody to your house. Amen. Everybody, like I say, everybody can't be in your circle. Can't come into your atmosphere. And you got to be careful the ones you allow in your space, in your atmosphere. Here it is, Martha, Mary's Martha, they invited Jesus to their home because Jesus was the friend. He was their friend. Amen. So because he was their friend, they invited him to their home. Go to Isaiah. Let's look at the hospitality. Isaiah chapter number 58. Because one thing about it, if you invite somebody to your home, you need to be hospitable. you shouldn't have some hospitality. Show some hospitality when you invite somebody to your home. Isaiah chapter number 58, look at verse number 7. So when you invite somebody, this is something that you should do. Share your food with the hungry. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives who need your help. What you say. Somebody say, oh, I wish he wouldn't have turned to that one there tonight. No, why you got to bring up the relatives? It said, you show hospitality. If I invite somebody to my house, I'm not going to just let them sit there and not offer them anything. Anything to drink, anything to eat. You know, you want to show some hospitality to somebody. Because you invite somebody and you don't show any hospitality, look, they don't want to come back. Are you with me? Let me say that again. You invite somebody to your home, you don't show any hospitality. Those individuals or that individual likely won't return. Don't want to come back. Let me say that again so we can catch division as we're making it plain. When you invite somebody to your house, come on, you invite somebody to the place where you worship, where you attend services, where you go to church, when you invite somebody, therefore you should show some hospitality. There should be some hospitality in you because you invited them. Come on. And because you invited them and you've shown hospitality to those that you've invited, they will be excited, want to come back. Huh? Let's say they were so hospitable. You know, everybody was so loving, everybody was so kind. People love places like that where you show the love. Come on, we say it's a place where you just don't see the love, but you also feel the love. If people could come in here and don't feel anything, something is wrong. If people can come in here and don't see anything, something is wrong. If people can come to your home and they don't feel anything or see anything, something is wrong. They wouldn't want to come back. Huh? Because we are not showing the hospitality that needs to be shown to those individuals. We get to the point we don't want to share.
Come on, it's how
our job to feed you with truth and knowledge. That's our job as leaders, as pastors, as preachers, as overseers, as bishops, as it's our job to feed you with truth and knowledge. Because if we feed you, watch this, you'll be able to help feed somebody else. That's if you're not stubborn. Because you do know there are some stubborn folk. They don't want to share their food with anybody. Oh, did our preacher preach today? He preached up something, and all you telling is the ones that was in the building. I'm teaching. That's all you sharing it with, the ones that was in the place. Oh, did not our hearts burn? Huh? You're sharing it with those that already been fed. But there's somebody else that needs to be fed. And we refuse to feed them. Come on. I got a revelation today as I was sitting in the restaurant. I'm always getting something while I'm in the restaurant. Something always arrests my attention. As I was sitting in the restaurant, there was a little baby there, and a little couple of mother probably and their daughter came in with a little baby, and they were Hispanic descent. They spoke Spanish. They spoke Spanish, and the little baby was there sitting down, and the Holy Spirit hit me. It hit me with something that sometimes we really won't even think or cross our minds. And it hit me, and I said, okay, God, I got you. I hear you, Holy Spirit, because look, when a baby is born, it doesn't matter what descent, what nationality that baby is. When a baby is born, they all speak the same language. Yeah. They all speak the same language. When you hear da 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 da, every baby that you hear that comes out, whatever nationality, gonna be da 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 da. And God said to me as I was sitting there, in order for that baby to understand or get to whatever the nationality that they're born in, to understand it, they have to be taught, they have to be fed. And while the mother was over there, siéntese, you know, that she kept putting that in there, being repetitive into that child, because that's the language that they speak. Come. There's a language that we as believers ought to be speaking, but we're not speaking our language. Y'all ain't talking to me. We ought to be able to go out and share this word, this gospel, with people that let them know that the wages of sin is death. Y'all ain't talking. And the gift of God is eternal life. We got to go out and teach these unbelievers, these non-believers, and get them talking our language. They all speak the same language, but they are taught. And if they keep hearing it enough, they'll pick it up and start speaking what they've been taught. What are you speaking? What are you speaking? What have you been taught? Or who's been teaching you? Come on. What are we speaking? What are we saying? What's causing our distraction? Oh, you hear? Feed. Share the food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Y'all, I'm all walking this thing. I'm walking it. Give shelter to the homeless. I'm giving it to you in a spiritual manner. I'm giving it to you in a spiritual sense. And you can understand it. Give shelter to the homeless. out there that don't have homes out there sitting in the streets. Drug habits, some say we just can't be. Economy is down, they don't give enough pay. But as for me, all I can say, I thought y'all probably catch that. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. See, there are some folk that are homeless. Mm-hmm. But watch this. There are some folk that are living in homes, but still homeless. How in the world can somebody be in a home but still homeless? come on, you're not growing where you're going. You're not getting fed properly. In other words, you're homeless because you don't have a covering. Come on, you just come in while it's raining just a little bit, and after a while you just went back out after the rain has stopped. Oh, God, Lord, help me up in here, Holy Spirit. Okay, what are you talking about, Bishop? I'm glad you had. You come in when trouble hit your home. Come on. You come in when difficulties are all around you. You try to get out the rain. You just need a little shelter for a moment because it's raining, it's pouring, no rain. Come on up in here. You can try to get out of the rain. You can come in here just for a moment, but as soon as the rain stops, you're back out again. As soon as God deals with one situation in your life, you're going again. All you're trying to do is find a little temporary shelter. But God said, I need you to have a covering. always sitting around food. And here he is talking about feed the hungry. I watched now because as I was sitting, there was something else that arrested my attention. Watch now. Young man was sitting down. Elder guy, another young lady came and he began to witness. Yeah, our church is a multicultural church. Want to invite you to our church. This is why they were sitting there eating. I don't really go nowhere. You never know. Because you don't want to feast nobody. You don't want to share nothing. You never know who's hungry if you never invite them to some food. Young man, I heard him and I sat there and it just arrested my attention. He's like, no, I'm really going nowhere. I'm looking for somewhere to go. Here it is, this young man ministering and giving an opportunity to invite them to their chair, to their home. If God's people that have been saved will take that same mentality to go out and share with somebody else, you would have a problem with churches being empty. Yeah, that's because we are sharing our food. And why? You got to be excited when you're sharing something. You got to get it to the point of make them understand, look, I'm excited about the food that I'm eating. I want to share it with you. I want you to get some of the same nutrients and things that I'm getting. But when we don't get excited or show excitement about our home, no one wants to come see you. I'm right here in Isaiah 58. I'm in verse number 7. It's right here. Share your food with the hungry, give shelter to the homeless. There's people out there looking for a place to be. But we'll never know that if we never open up and invite. Give clothes to those who are in need.
Try to strip them.
But you got to keep with heaven. getting ready to put their song on to make sure they understand what they're putting on. They got some gifts they got to put on, some talents they got to put on, some anointing that they're going to have to put on. You got to keep clothing them. Huh? And do not hide from the relatives that need help. Don't hide from your relatives that need help. There are some folks, some brothers and sisters already in the body of Christ still need some help. They need your help. Okay, okay, prove it. Prove it, I shall. Look around you. Look around you. There are some folk inside that still needs our help. Because some folk, watch this, have called themselves going on a spiritual diet. Y'all, I done turned the corner. Mm-hmm. There are some folk call themselves that are going on a spiritual diet. Some foods they don't want. I don't want no heavy stuff no more because guess what? This heavy stuff is really piercing my heart. It's really working on me, and I gotta get away from this heavy stuff. I don't want to do right now. I just need something that's gonna be light on me. I need something that's gonna just get me by. You know, I don't need that heavy duty word. I need a pop tart word, something that's gonna pop up real quick. I just need something that I can go back and say, I've been to church. I'm on a spiritual diet, and that's why you're not getting everything. That's why you're falling out, passing out. That's why you continue. Don't know what to do. Don't know how to handle certain things because you don't know the wrong diet. Okay. All right. Yeah. You're getting away. All you want is milk, and you should have been on meat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're too busy. Just trying to stay away from what we really need. Come on, y'all didn't think I knew how to turn a corner like that. I know it's good to try to go on a physical diet, but hey, we're too busy going on a spiritual diet. And we're not getting in shape. Because we don't have anything to put pressure on us. And the more the pressure that's on you, the more you can build up and strengthen up some things. You don't have any pressure on you. Anybody can come up and pick up a little salad. Mm-hmm. That junk food. So when it's time for storms to hit, you can't handle the storm. That's why there are so many folk depressed in the church. Because they're on a spiritual diet. Y'all ain't talking. That's why you have so many suicidal because they're on a spiritual diet. Huh? No power because they're on a spiritual diet. They don't have what they need to have the strength to deal with what they need to deal with. So I'm a fast from this. Okay, I just turned it a different way. You're fasting from the wrong stuff. Mm-hmm. That's time the Bible deals with fasting and talking about fasting, but this is straight from off the press, hot from the Holy Spirit. Come on. Talk to me up in here. Yeah, we are supposed to fast for certain things, turn our plates over for certain things that we need spiritually. Mm-hmm, that we need God to do for us spiritually. But our problem is we're going on a spiritual fast to stay away from the things that God is trying to give us that's going to help us, develop us, and make us who He wants us to be. It's too much for me. I still love this world that I'm living in. I still want to be where I am right now. I still got it going on a little bit. I don't want to get right all the way right now. I want to be right, but not right now. So I'm going to go, I'm going to stray away from the church, from the word. Don't hide from your relatives. Got folk inside that you're neglecting. You're running from, you're hiding from. Come on, some folks you really need to give the unadulterated word to that sit around you. Come on, they may not like it, but you need to give it to them. If you got the word of God in you and you're filled with the Spirit of God, you need to give that word even when folk won't like it. You can't talk one day right, then the next day they see you doing something else. They see you talking a different talk. How can you get up and try to feed somebody and share with those in the house about faith, and then next thing something happened in your life, I don't know how I'm going to make it, I don't know how I'm going to do it, and all. Now you're double tongue. You got to show them and let them know, huh? On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other grounds are sinking sand. We got to be able to stand on God's promises. I'm standing on the promises of Jesus. I'm going to take him at his word. And if we're going to do that, we got to show folks that, look, I know I'm going through, but look, I'm standing on his promise. I'm not going to let this sway me or discourage me or distract me from my purpose, from my goal. I'm not going to let it happen. I'm destined for greatness. So if I'm destined for greatness, I understand this and I know this. Come on, Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. Chapter number 13. We got to understand this stuff here. We got to understand that God is giving us some power. And if we don't understand it, that we have it, we won't utilize it. Hebrews chapter number 13. Look what it says. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. I just want to read verse number 1. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. If we are in the body of Christ, we got to love one another as brothers and sisters. Keep on loving in spite of difficult times. Keep on loving. In spite of the ups and the downs, you got to keep on loving. In spite of the disagreements, you got to keep on loving. As brothers and sisters, and what he's saying, I know you're gonna have some trouble. You're gonna have some times that you just wanna choke each other out. Come on, but I need you to keep on loving. That's what brothers and sisters do. Brothers and sisters get angry at each other every now and then. But when you realize, even though we are angry at each other, you still my brother. You still my sister. Guess what? We ride or die. You got to get to the point of understanding, hey, that's still my brother, that's still my sister. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Come on. In other words, you got to have that real love. Not that fake, phony stuff, that real love. Okay, I'm going to love you with folk looking at me. But I really don't love you. I really don't care for you. I'm gonna try to tag you down as soon as I get an opportunity. Try to take you out. Try to get people not to like you. I'm gonna get people to look at you different. Come on, that's what folks. That's not brotherly love. That's not how brothers and sisters supposed. That's not that agape love. He says, I really don't like you, but I want to show you something so I can get everything out of you that I need, that I want. I'm a fake it till I make it. Come on, that's what's happening with a lot of Christians and a lot of saints and brothers and sisters now. That's why people are at each other's throats, because people have been faking it till they make it. As long as I can get something out of you, I'm a hang with you until I can get you dry. I can drain you, and I can get to the point where I need to be in life. I got everything that I need, and as soon as I got everything I need, now I done cut you loose. Come on, this is why we're going at each other, because folks have been losing and abusing us for so long, because they are not real. They just been putting on. Come on, you got folks that just put on. We're trying to act like they love you so much, they do so much, you know. There ain't nothing you can ask them. They'll do whatever. But then when their back is turned, your back is turned, good God. You ain't heard it from me, but I... Come on. That's how it is. We got to have that love one for another. Real. You just got to be real. Sooner or later, then we get to the point because we've been so suckered in. We get to the point where we hadn't had our eyes open. Watch this. We haven't been watching and praying as the Bible teaches us to watch and pray. Come on. We may have been watching, but we hadn't been praying, because if we had been praying, God would have revealed some things to you. In your prayers, he would have showed you some things, but we haven't been praying. We've been looking at everything. We may have been praying, but haven't been watching. Come on. We got to watch as well as pray. So now, when things happen and occur in our lives, it's no surprise, and it really won't tear me down. I really won't dwell on this for 15 years. Y'all ain't talking to your boy. I ain't gonna hold on to this forever, because I've already prayed. God has shown me. I've been watching as I've been praying, and God has shown me some truths about you. He's shown me some things. That's when you have a relationship with him. God will not have things just pop up on you. God will show you some things, but watch this. We can't see these things because we've been distracted by other things. We've allowed other things to distract us, so we can't see what God is trying to show us and what God is trying to tell us. We can't hear it because we've allowed distractions to come and then get us out of the way. It says, love, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. Come on, don't forget to show hospitality to the strangers. You ain't got to know folk to speak. You don't have to know people to be kind. Come on, show hospitality to strangers. You got visitors that just happen to be walking along the way, happen to just stop in. Okay, well, folk just happen to stop in. You got to go look at them like, what you doing here? I don't know you. Why? You know, you don't give them that hospitality that they come looking for. Come on. Then guess what happens when you don't show the hospitality, when people start looking at others so crazy when they come into places and they don't get the right or the proper response and the hospitality that they think they should get in the house of God. Come on. In the house of God, because how many of you know, in the house of God, if they don't get hospitality anywhere else, it should be shown in the house of God. In the house of God, we should welcome everybody. Everybody should be welcomed in this place. So now, once they come in and they don't get this, then what happens? They go out and start telling, that ain't no good place to go to. I wouldn't go that place. If folks look at you like you weren't supposed to be there. Come on. Show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing. You never know what blessing God has in store for you, or have lying waiting on you. Because you can be entertaining angels unaware. That could be your breakthrough that you're showing hospitality to. God can lay on somebody's heart. Look, I need you to go here and stop by here on this particular day. And that individual listen to God and come and stop by, that could be a millionaire in disguise. And come in and no one says anything, no one show kindness or nothing. And your blessing can walk right back out that door. You could have somebody here, wife, that could come in, come on, looking like a bum, dirty, stinking, smelling, whatever the case may be, and a millionaire. Just so happened they just walked away from some stuff, but they still got it. And that individual can remember, I went to this place. They encouraged me. They lifted me up. They gave me food. They did something for me. And I remember this. They didn't care about how I looked or how I smelled or whatever the case may be. They opened up their arms and they did this. They showed hospitality towards me. Come on, let me see if I can help you. You entertain angels unaware. Y'all ever seen Undercover Boss? Undercover Boss? Come on. Where the CEO, the owner of companies, put on disguises and go and work side by side with the employees that's working for them. They don't even know that's the big boss. Come on, and start talking about the company and sharing things with them about how things could get better, you know, even if they're struggling, they go through this and they say, I'm doing this, I'm struggling, whatever the case may be. Then by the end of the show, they come in and they bring them in and the boss sitting there and they're looking at them and they go back in their mind and say, that was you? Yeah, and I came to tell you, I've listened to what you said, and this is what I want to do. I want to pay for this. Here go another $30,000, $100,000, whatever the case may be. They bless them. You never know when your blessings or where your blessings going to come from. God can send somebody here in disguise in the midst of the ministry. God probably has sent somebody in here in disguise. Come on. God could have sent people in disguise in your ministry, wherever you are, just to see how you was going to show hospitality towards them. A lot of places we are afraid to go to because we saved. We sanctified. Holy Ghost for you. We don't go to places now where we should be going because sometimes we don't go to those places and we say we don't go to those places anymore because we talking about we say Holy Ghost for you, fire baptized, tongue talking, Bible told, scripture quoting. We go and start talking about that because we really not delivered from the places we going to. I ain't going there because you ain't got it all out you yet. Because your purpose is still to go party. You still going to party with a purpose. You still going to turn up. And not witness, not give word. Are you with me? Say we entertain angels, maybe entertain the angels unaware. Martha, she became distracted by much service. Go back to Luke 10. She became distracted. We about to finish with this part. Luke 10, And look at verse 40. She became distracted. Watch this. Let me go back to verse 38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet. We're going to deal with that in our next setting. Watch this. Listening to what he taught. But verse 40. But Martha was distracted, by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me. She was distracted. Watch this, by doing something good. That was good. I invited you to my home, but I'm preparing something for you. I'm showing some hospitality to you. I know this is a good thing. But this wasn't the purpose of Jesus accepting the invitation. Oh. Why? Because you can invite him and he accepts your invitation. But just because he accepts your invitation doesn't mean that he wants you to feed him. And sometimes it may be because he wants to feed you. You can't be too busy, trying to nurture the Lord and not try to get near it. Martha wanted to nurture the Lord, but Mary wanted to be near the Lord.
Yes, sir.
We're too busy trying to feed something that's already filled. I need to be near that is filled to get what I need for my soul. So doesn't it seem unfair that all she's doing is just sitting here? The purpose of me coming and accepting your invitation is for me to be a blessing to you. She's getting it. Come on, she knows who I am. Mary knew who the Lord is. She knows whose feet she's sitting at. Come on, when you tap in the spirit realm and understand in the spirit realm, look, I know you don't need this food, but I need what you got. I'm going to sit right here and wait on you to give it to me. Because it's not that important for me to come and try to fill you up when I understand and know I can't fill you, but you can fill me. Why? The Son of God, the Messiah, came to our house. What an honor that is. There were likely others besides Jesus, his disciples, her family, her neighbors, there were other folk that she probably invited to the house. Come on, look at this. There was others. Their neighbors, they came and invited to the house. Watch this, they probably didn't get the hospitality. She probably didn't show the hospitality that she was showing Jesus. Mary probably ain't come sit at their feet. Although they were invited to the house. Come on. She naturally wanted her sister Mary to help her. Come on, help me. Why are you just sitting here? I need to get what I need from him. That ain't the time right now to do what you're doing. This is what I need right now. This is what you need right now. If you understand who he is, yes, he's our friend, but this is the Messiah. This is the Holy One. We need to be right here. Mm-hmm. I had President Obama at my house. I went in there and I cooked him up some stuff, some vittles. I tell you, I had all of this here and everything, and you really didn't learn anything. You're too busy trying to feed him. And there's knowledge, there's wisdom there that's sitting amongst you that you're refusing to get. Missing the important part. And see, that's what happened. Ooh. Yeah, you just open up something right there. You just open up something right there. Look, that revelation hit all over the place. Why? That's what happens even today. When we have, invited guests into the house of God. We have folk too busy wanting to stay in the kitchen. Come on, we're going to be back because we got to do all this. We got to get this set up. We got to get this cooked. We got to do all this stuff. You want to stay in the kitchen and miss the word. We got a whole lot of Marthas. Huh? Yeah. And often, huh? We got a whole lot of Marthas. Churches are filled with Marthas because when food is being done, no one wants to get the word.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we got to make sure we got to get all this together. Understand it. There's time for preparation. There's time to have everything done. Come on, if we prepared it right and did it the right way, hey, when the word came, I got the word. I came, but I come for you. You come to church to get the word. The spiritual food. That's why I say we went on a spiritual diet. That's why you have so many problems in the kitchen. You have so many problems in the kitchen because people don't get the word. Too busy trying to feed instead of getting fed. I need to nurture the people and not get near the Lord. Because if you got word, then when you got on the other side, guess what? Everything will run smooth because I got the word. But because I didn't get the word, I'm bitter. I'm angry. Huh? I know how to handle certain things. Because I didn't get the word in me. She really wanted trying to pull folks, and that's what kind of happens in our churches when it comes to that. When it comes to us feeding, come on, it comes to that, people try to pull other folk out of service. I need you to come do this here. I need you to come do it. You're trying to pull people out of service. Not to get what they came for.
Amen.
Because it's not all about food, and it's what Jesus was telling Martha. I'm messing up. I'm messing up some folk now. You know that, huh? That kitchen ministry. Because we're too good. And watch this. Oh, God, watch this now, because you're so busy. Watch people be so busy trying to make sure things are so much together in the kitchen. They don't want to make sure things are so much together in their lives. Oh, this need to go here. All this stuff here need to go here. All the starches over here, you know, all the vegetables over here, all the meats over here. Got everything laid out in the kitchen. So when the line, when folk come through the line, they got this right here, the plates and stuff right here. They got the drinks and then all the desserts. They got it lined up, but your life is jacked up. Your ministry is jacked up. You don't have it lined up. Because we're not getting what we need. Mm-hmm. Isn't it right that she, something's just wrong. She ain't coming back here trying to help me. We got all these people to feed. Ain't nobody coming back here to help me in the kitchen. I got to do all this stuff by myself. Well, you wouldn't have had to do it by yourself if you got the word.
Oh, God.
If you got the word, you would have known you weren't by yourself. Because
yes,
when I got the word, now we're able to work together.
Yes, sir.
When you get the word. Oh, this is going to get tight. Huh? She naturally wanted her sister Mary to help. She began to worry and be troubled by many things. Go to verse 41. But the Lord said to her, Luke 10:41, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. You worry about the wrong thing. That's why your blood pressure can't go down. You worry about the wrong thing. That's why you're continuing to have headaches, heartaches, because you worry about the wrong thing. You worry about and upset over all these things. Because if you was near me, you'll be getting what you need to deal with these things that you're worried about. And the reason you're worried is because you're not getting the word. If I got the word, I wouldn't worry as much. The word will teach me what I need to do. The word will show me there's some things I really don't need to worry about because it's out of my reach. You think I'm a worry over some stuff that I know is not under my control? Come on. You think I'm really going to worry about who didn't get a piece of chicken? Or who got the best piece of cake? Do you really think I'm aware about that? About you don't have help? You think I'm really going to worry about that? I'm right here. I'm right here. Jesus said, look, you worried and upset over all these details. You worried about the wrong thing, my brother, my sister. You getting upset over something you really don't need to be getting upset over. You upset because somebody wants something else, didn't you? Feed them that are hungry. Why are you getting upset? Because they coming back. supposed to do. That's why you brought the food here. To feed people. Tom? I just throw that in for free. Come on. That's what we are supposed to do. So you think I'm going to let that get on my nerves? You think just because somebody, I'm not going to eat because somebody got on my nerves? The devil is a lie. I ain't going to let you bother me. Because guess what? I'm going to eat something. And then if I want something else to eat, I got money in my pocket. I can go buy me something to eat. Come on. I understand some stuff. You know, those are things, like I said, even in the greatest returning that I'm in. Uh-huh. Yeah. Hmm? Got this thing, you got to show somebody that you know some stuff before you can get something to eat or even go into the house. Hold on. I got a place to stay.
Okay.
I got money in my pocket and I can go buy me something to eat. I'm not going to get upset because you want to challenge me to something that I might not know, and I can challenge you to something you don't know? Come on, it's not all about that. I'm not going to let that upset me. If I go to a cookout and I don't get one piece of meat off the grill.
Amen.
I got some Benjamin Franklins.
Amen.
Some Abe Lincolns. Thomas Jefferson. Some Grant, some George Washington, and some plastic in my pocket. And I can go get whatever I need. And we're too busy getting upset over some small detail that causing people wanting to fight and fall out. Don't want to come back. Want to throw in the towel, give up. Come on, we get to the point in the church. These are church folk. I don't know how much more I'm gonna take about this. I don't want this. I don't know how much more I can handle. I'm getting. I don't know. I'm this. I'm getting on my nerves. Well, why is it getting on your nerves when you say you got the Lord inside of you? Why you letting it get on your nerves? I just don't know. I may be done with this. But you say you got the Lord in you. I'm letting this get up under my skin. For what? I don't know if I'm coming back. Don't come back. Yeah. If you don't know, if you that weak and you've been under the word for so long, how is it that you would be under the word for so long and be that weak? You don't have nothing in you. You're just weak. You should be on meat, but you're still on milk. Because we're too busy trying to feast instead of get fed. We're too busy trying to tell other people how to do, what to do, when to do, why to do, and we're not doing. We got so much advice to give somebody else, but we can't handle the advice that comes to us. We can't handle the corrective criticism that comes to us. We can't handle being corrected. So now we want to just throw in the towel and leave because you've gotten corrected. Mm-hmm. I know. Because they say you ain't got to come back because God will send someone that you need. You think the church going to stop because you leave? Come on. A lot of folk, you know, a lot of folk have left and died that thought the church was going to stop. Well, if I ain't here, the church ain't going to be here. They played on and the church still standing. So they ought to let folk know God's church going to go on. That's why he said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. No matter what goes on, it don't matter who leaves, it will not prevail. He's going to go on. He'll send somebody else. Come on, you can still be here and go.
That's right.
Folks can still be there, but don't. Just in a way. You're a tree that's withering away, and sooner or later you're going to be cut down. Because you're just taking up space. Because when Jesus comes to get something off your tree, and there's nothing there, you're barren, guess what? There's no need for you. You're in the way. You're trying to corrupt those that's around you. You're dying out, so you're trying to kill everything else around you. Come on. Okay, I think it's my time. We got to understand. Distractions. She began to worry about stuff that she should never been worried about. These are not the things that were wrong in her, wrong in and of themselves. But they took priority when they should have not. You got things around here that you put in priority. You're taking them for priority when you shouldn't. Because that's our folk. You say, lady, right? That's our folk get recognized. They want to be recognized. Oh, taste this. You know, I made this especially for you. Come on. I want some recognition. You're prioritizing stuff that shouldn't be prioritized. Which causes anxiety of the mind and distress in the spirit. Because when things don't go your way, you get upset. When you don't get the response that you was looking for, you get upset. People get mad when they don't get the response. Folk don't say what they want to hear. I did this, ain't said nothing. Ain't said thank you, ain't said it was good, bad, ain't say I did. Well, I made this cornbread, and I've been making cornbread from scratch all my life, and ain't said nothing about my cornbread. You're too busy wanting to get the glory. You're too busy. The me mentality. There it goes again. The wrong thing. We're too busy with the wrong stuff. Wrong thing. Martha allowed that which is good get in the way of that which is better. And this is what's happening. We are allowing some things that's good to get in the way of our better. Those things which were better. It was good. Yeah, it was good. But Jesus was better. It was better to have him there. Look, just because he's in my presence, that's better to have him in my presence. Yeah, he got on. He got on. We're gonna get, because he said, well, you worried about the wrong thing, but Mary made the better choice. See, Mary made the better choice. You chose to go in the kitchen. You chose not to get this blessing. You chose not to get this deliverance. Watch this now, and I'm done, because you out of place. We can miss out on stuff because we're out of place. God bless you.